You will feel a lot smarter when I'm speaking. Trust me. I like simple. I like to be the dumbest one in the room. I like to change the way you look at things by saying simple things. I have a unique background in resilience because I grew up initially needing resilience to survive. I had a single mom with six kids and a lot of pressure in our family, as many of you have, not only just to eat, but to be great through education. So in my family, I kept hearing doctor, lawyer, failure. Doctor, lawyer, failure. And all I wanted to do was be rich. And the reason I wanted to be rich, the good thing about wanting to be rich is I always knew for the sake of what, when I wanted to be rich. It was for the sake of taking away the only dis-ease I had in my life, which was financial. So I'd catch my mom crying anytime there was a financial stress, anytime she couldn't meet what she perceived to be her obligation of a mom of six, five boys and a girl, packing my dinner in a paper bag after she taught second grade to fill up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we can eat. She was so kind and generous that I remember having food stamps in Akron, Ohio, and buying pencils on top of the food with her food stamps for her second grade class because the schools couldn't afford buying pencils. These are the type of things that change your dynamic, your direction. I like to say in the day of pivoting and as things, a lot of younger people, this will be the first challenging financial times that you're gonna experience. We've been through the longest period of financial growth in history and things are gonna change and people are gonna talk about pivoting. Human nature never changes. My mom made me study history for that reason. And history sucks to study. But I learned human nature and it still won't change. One of the things I love about being the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute is that Napoleon Hill understood human nature to the respect that 98% of the people are drifters. What does that mean? When things get hard, they quit. It's that simple. See, no genius there. 98% of people, because of human nature, when things get hard, they quit. That's the only reason you won't get to where you are or where you want to be or better. It's the only reason. Lack of commitment. I surround myself with billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers. I ran the most notable sports agency in the world, had a global sports marketing company, including the Clemente family, Pro Football Hall of Fame. My business partner was a Hall of Famer, and still I have more Hall of Famers. And the common denominator between all of them is they made a shitload of mistakes. They failed a ton of times. But they also had one common denominator. They had a desire that they must be what they can be, so they never quit. All of the rejection that they got in their lives, the same as you're getting in your lives and I still get in my life, that rejection became a redirection. And it was a divine direction that they chose, utilizing wisdom of other people in the past and faith, simple faith. It is simple faith that you'll need to have commitment. Why is that true? Regardless of your religion, philosophy, spirituality, or any theories you may believe, it requires faith to not quit, to not fall in the 98%. Because what happens is, when we are pursuing our potential through the enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of that potential, your potential, not other people's, not what's missing, not what you don't have, not what other people think, but who you are in the divine direction of where you want to be, you will need faith because there will be, for the majority of the time, no evidence or the evidence will be contrary to where you want to be. The majority of the time, getting to where you want to be or better, there will be no evidence that you're going to get there, or the evidence will be contrary that you're ever going to get there. So give me one other solution than faith that's going to get you there. Now, proven over time by all those billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers, you know that things happen very, very, very slowly, then all of a sudden. That's where the idea of an overnight success comes. Because it happens really, really slowly. So your choice is, do I want to use wisdom and faith to be in the 98% that are going to quit when things get hard? Or are you going to be in the 2% that has commitment in the 2%? And I've been through it and I've learned these lessons. And to give you a pragmatic framework I've utilized to simplify the best way so that you don't quit is one, understanding what that truly means. You need to learn to love what you don't like or love. You have to learn to love what other people don't like or love. We have a capability that's so powerful, it's called relativity. People, they change the vernacular and the vocabulary of it, but I study time and relativity because time and relativity are the two common denominators in all human existence. Human existence, human experience, defined really simply by me, your human experience starts when your heart starts and it stops when your heart stops. Quit fucking around with everything else. You can lose your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your legs, your brain. But once your heart stops, that whole human experience thing, it's done. So why not play the game of learning lessons, forgetting lessons, and remembering lessons in the context of the framework that you've been given, which is here's a body, I'm going to start your heart, and someday I'm going to stop it. And in between that, you have a guarantee by your God, whatever that is, your God, God's God, whatever you want, you have a guarantee. From the time your heart starts till the time it stops, you will have 24 hours a day to learn lessons, forget lessons, and remember them. All of them that have ever existed. You have 24 hours every single day of that human experience, except for what? The last day of your life, you're cheated. So just, let's play this game of lessons and understand you're gonna keep on learning lessons till you learn them. You'll forget every lesson you've ever learned, but you have the power to remember, remind, and recollect with that lesson, which is becoming more and more apparent with technology that we have an infinite amount of information and an infinite amount of energy. What the fuck are you doing to interfere with it is what I say. Stop trying to go get it. It's already there. That's where the whole concept of I am comes from. Not this is what I want people to think I am. The huge energy gap that exists within our future generation, my children, your children, they're so worried about this is what I think. This is what I think they think. This is what I want them to think I think. This is what I want to think I am. Right? I went to a wedding in Rhode Island of my niece and it was like fucking the virtual Great Gatsby. The good news about the virtual Great Gatsby is nobody has any money to lose because it's all pretend. Right, it's like me standing in my expensive places and I don't own shit. I leased the car for a day and right, I rented my suit and all my friends are drinking caviar bumps or whatever the shit they're doing, buying shit they don't need to impress people they don't like. Right, it resonates with me because I was that asshole. So I can tell you in humility, I was that asshole. I've spent so much money buying shit I don't need to impress people I didn't like, which is how you lose everything financially. Which created that catalytic event of I am, I'm tired of worrying about what people think I am or wanting to think I am. I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? Utilizing the 24 hours every single day from the time my heart starts till the time it stops. Except for the last day of my life, I'll be cheated. So in the context, what screws up this interference? Well, one is understanding circumstance. Because remember, time now is a common denominator of the past, the present, and the future. It's a common denominator. We all, if I tell you all we're going to stop at 1 o'clock and go do some Q&A out there, we would all meet at 1 o'clock out there. The same time. If we're all on time. But where does relativity come into play? Well, relativity gives you the power of consistency and the respect that most people don't realize. When we study relativity, you're studying meaning. And the true power that my God gave to me and he has shared your God with you, whoever that may be, is that he gave me the power of relativity. What does that mean? I have the power to give meaning to everything. I have the power to give meaning. I have the power to give meaning to my bankruptcy when I lost over $100 million. I had the power to give meaning to when I had to go tell my mom the only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy her a house, and I then lost her house and she had to move. I gave meaning to all the schools that rejected me for undergrad, law school, and business school. By the way, I just received my honorary doctorate in the humanities, And I told everyone, I said, this is brilliant. And I got to tell my mom before she passed away. I said, Mom, you'll be proud to know I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, and I'm a failure. And being a failure, Mom, was the most valuable one. Because I give it that meaning. I give it the meaning every day that I fail. I align it with my divine direction. I give meaning to all the effed up things that I've done and other people have done to align me in my divine direction, to make all of the redirection, the divine detours, and allow for divine time to reveal to me, when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where I want to be, where I'm supposed to be in that redirection, in the divine direction. And I have to use both wisdom, asking for help of other people that sit in a situation that I want to be in, and helping other people in that situation get to where they want to be, with faith that I just don't know. I don't know. There's no evidence. But I have faith that if I learn to love what I don't like and learn to love what other people don't like or love, and I do it consistently every day, persistently without quit in the pursuit of my potential, life will tell me what it's supposed to tell me. What? It's lessons. It's secrets. Why is that important? Because the lessons and the secrets create the cheat codes. And guess what? If you have all the cheat codes to life, just like Fortnite, shit is easy. I can beat my kids in Fortnite if they give me the cheat codes. Definitely Madden. That's why I'm winning in life, because I have all the cheat codes, because I'm giving meaning to the hard stuff. I don't waste the struggle anymore. I've turned the stuff that I don't like or love. One of the greatest experiences of my life was playing college football. Why? Because I sucked. I sucked. So I love football, but I sucked. Look at me. Like when I tell people I want to be a professional football player and I'm on a big stage, you should hear everyone laugh at me. And then I say, well, I'm a lawyer. Nobody laughs. Yeah, no shit, because look at this. This is really challenging me to be a professional football player or even a college football player. But why was it so important? Because I learned to love sitting on the bench when all I wanted to do was play. I learned to love going to practice and getting my ass kicked by guys that were so much bigger, stronger, faster, and better than me every day, because I loved that direction. I loved that game. But I learned, I love this. And I showed up first and I left last. And yes, I used to tell people I was an average college football player. I got to play my senior year. I got to return kicks as well. But I was told by my college football coach recently that I was below average. So I'm trying not. I told my wife, stop. Don't let me. I inherently, genetically, and energetically, I'm a bullshitter. So overselling, back-end selling, lying. So I always, my wife, who is my guide and my savior, I'm so blessed. I'm like, if you hear me bullshitting, just embarrass me, please. Because I have to break this chain genetically of what overselling, back-end selling, lying, manipulating, and cheating unintentionally, genetically, and energetically. So she does. She embarrasses me. The worst one was I had new clients, and we were in Vegas, and I said, oh, you know, we have the Wynn studio that we do our TV shows out of in the lobby of the Wynn. I'm like, yeah, you know, I have another studio in Orange County. And I implied that I owned the whole studio. And I own like 0.1% of it, probably. I don't know how much it's worth, but I didn't invest very much in it. But I get to use it. But I definitely implied in that overselling, genetic, insecure, you know, I own this studio. And my wife, and these people I didn't know, right? No, he doesn't. He doesn't own that. And they're like, awkward. So then, of course, I went to vulnerability and truth and said, I just want to tell all of you that how much I appreciate my wife, because energetically and genetically, I'm a bullshitter and it cost me over $100 million. And she's reminding me that lessons keep on coming until we learn them. And that I have the power to remember, recollect, and remind myself of those lessons at any time, to access those lessons and to stop interfering with those lessons. When we combine the relativity and the meaning with our time here, the time your heart starts and stops, we can utilize it, but we have to be aware of these circumstances, because that's what causes procrastination or feeling overwhelmed. Because we don't know how to deal with uncertainty, instead of focusing in on what is certain. Time and relativity, certain. Time and relativity are certain through wisdom and faith. It is certain according to the circumstances of today. So how do we do that? This has been the biggest life hack or cheat code that I've learned. You have to know what's important to you, not what's important to other people, what's missing and what you don't have. You need to make it non-negotiable according to the time, the incremental time of every day. So I'm very disciplined with half of my life. Very disciplined. Now, the nice thing about that half of my life, 2/3 of it is sleeping. So it's a lot easier than it sounds and a lot less anal retentive and OCD, although I have those in my genetics as well. It's easy. That's why I have a sleep coach for 18 years. That's why I utilize all type of sleep technologies. I know the purpose of sleep for the sake of what am I sleeping for recovery, because I know if I recover better than other people, I perform better than other people, and access to what? Access to the lessons, to the wisdom and the faith. This is what happens while you sleep. You recover and you access information in order to utilize your divine direction. If you sleep right. So I spend a minimum of 8 hours a day on my sleep. Non-negotiable. No matter what the circumstances are, I'm getting 8 hours of sleep, unless, of course, something happens that interrupts that sleep, like an emergency. Then I make sure I don't stack two losses in a row and I reprioritize the next day to make sure I get 8 hours of sleep. So if I have an emergency at 11 p.m., I go to bed at 9 p.m., I know I'm taking care of that emergency, but the next day, no matter what, I'm going to find that 8 hours of sleep. Call my sleep coach, see when to eat, the lighting, how to recover quicker, access, get back into the W column, and keep stacking W's, never stacking L's. One time's a mistake, two times starts a habit. Do you want to start bad habits? How do we determine bad habits or bad behavior, by the way? It's really simple. Again, good behavior is behavior that's aligned with where you want to be or better. Bad behavior interferes with it. It's that easy. Is this getting me to where I want to be or better? Is this interfering with me getting there? So that's in your relationships, your thoughts, your words, your beliefs, your feelings. These are all things that you may be interfering with where you want to be or better. And you better reconstitute some behaviors, non-negotiably especially. So for me, non-negotiably, non-circumstantially, sleep first, health second, family third, finance fourth, faith fifth, study of time and study of relativity, and it equals about 12 hours minimum a day. Now, according to the circumstances, I'll pour more time into any one of those categories, and then deal in pre-prioritize, prioritize, and reprioritize according to the circumstances of the day, which makes life more fun, but it also allows me to focus in on the true antidote to procrastination and feeling overwhelmed, which is prioritization. You can't prioritize unless you know what's important to you. If you haven't already categorized the important things to you as non-negotiable, hybrid negotiable, which means I'll do this once a month, once a week, twice a week, three times a week, or just plain negotiable, which is, hey, according to the circumstances tomorrow, I may or may not do this. I'm just gonna prioritize or reprioritize according to those circumstances. The weather, the delays, the arguments, what I call the reaction to fear. Why do I say the reaction to fear? Because the greatest interference is fear itself, but it's not actually the fear that's interfering with you. See, so many people like me have spent, and you don't have to raise your hand, thousands if not millions of dollars on therapy and professional and personal development. I've spent millions of dollars on personal and professional development and therapy, trying to figure out all of that trauma, the past life trauma. Ooh, Dr. Shaw got into that with me, you know, Deepak and fortune from my past life trauma. Then I wanted the womb trauma. Right? Like, what did my mom do to me? Smoking when she's pregnant? You know, what did that do to me? And then I got into the, you know, infant trauma and the toddler trauma and then, the, you know, childhood trauma. That was awful. And then, right? And then I went to the tween, 20s, 30s, 40s. And now I'm in 50s trauma. I spent all that money and I'm still trauma. Why? Because I'm afraid. Human nature is that we have fear when we don't understand or know, and we don't understand or know. There's no evidence, or the evidence is contrary to where we want to be or better. So we're constantly utilizing fear to figure out that behavior or that trajectory, the divine direction. What I have found is that other cheat codes, the simple way, stop spending all that money on figuring out what you're afraid of. Just say, I'm afraid. Because we actually have a really simple way to shorten the distance of resistance that fear causes in our life through this wisdom and faith, and it's your reaction to fear. It's instant and obvious. Who here has ever been angry today? Who here has ever had a need to be right, need to be offended? Who here has worried before? How about felt separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, blah, 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 blah. Of course we have. Guess what? When you are any one of those things, do you need a therapist to tell you you're worried? No. Do you need a therapist to tell you, or a personal development guru to tell you that you're pissed off? No. So then I started thinking about it. Wow, we have an instant and obvious way to shorten the distance of resistance, because anytime I see a clue of an interference, a reaction to fear, start seeing a pattern to prioritize my acknowledgement, my awareness to that reaction to fear, like genetically and energetically, I have this huge need to be offended, which really sucks. Because you have a need to be offended, just walk outside. Actually, I should say, just wake up. Oh, this blanket, blah, blah, blah. I hate the guy that made this blanket. I'm so offended. But it's instant and obvious. So what do we do? What we want to do, instead of resisting it, which most people do, including me, or trying to go over it like a hero, around it, through it, lie to it, manipulate it, cheat it, or deny it. It hurts, doesn't it? I'm in denial as well. Out-logic it, right? How many people went to graduate school, so I can't tell you how many nights I went to bed going, oh, let it go, it'll be fine. And then you wake up saying, let it go. Out-analyzing it, right? Oh, I can beat this one. I'm fucking smart. I'm in law school. I'll beat this. I'll just out-logic it. Well, you know, that's impossible. She couldn't have, you know, been cheating on me and blah, 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 blah. I can't out-logic it. It's an emotion. It's an energy. Can't logic energy. But what I use is wisdom and faith. So the next time you interfere with I am, I want you to do one thing, which to me is a testament and illustration of free will. It's one of the most difficult things you'll ever do when you react to fear. Stop. Just stop. Stop. Even if your wife's screaming or your husband's screaming, everything, don't, you're not saying anything. Don't walk away from me. Blah, blah, blah. Just stop. As much as you are saying things in your head, just stop. It's so hard to stop when you're in the reaction to fear. Don't resist it, go over under, through it, around it, lie to it, manipulate or cheat it. Just stop. Breathe. Drop. Drop to ease. Right? Remember, the categorization of life is you're either at ease or dis-ease. God will tell you which one by the chemicals and the bioanatomical reactions that happen in your mind. Remember, you know, each time you're in the reaction to fear, there's about a 6-second dose of chemicals that F you up, and it takes 180 seconds. So if you continue to out-logic it, go over it, under it, resist it, 6 seconds, 6 seconds, 6 seconds, 6 seconds. Yes, you will be miserable for days, weeks, months, and years, just chemically. Now, according to your own anatomy and your own genetics, you can handle more cortisol than other people. So you may not think that it's impacting you because this guy is constantly under stress. But imagine what their potential would be if they weren't. Imagine if you were stopping and letting the 180 seconds dissipate that reaction to fear. Imagine if you were dropping down to center, reminding, remembering, and recollecting with what? With an infinite source of energy. An infinite source of information, all the answers. That's what you're reminding, remembering. Call it what you want. I call it your God. And I don't care what name you give that. As long as it's bigger than you, protects you, promotes you, loves and perfects you more than your mom. No matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the evidence is, at all times I have that faith. every time, and it happens every day. I'm just continually living more of my life at ease, part and parcel to the infinite, abundant, unified system of thought, energy, and information that we have access to 24 hours a day from the time our heart starts till the time it stops. Except for the last day of life, you'll be cheated. You gotta stop, drop, and roll. When your mind, your body, and soul are on fire, it's obvious, it's instant. Just stop. Find your center. Keep practicing finding your center, and then roll into your divine direction. Make that rejection a redirection. Don't waste the struggle. Learn from it. Learn from it. Accelerate, aggregate, compound the outcomes exponentially. Too many of us create this resistance with outcome-based objectives and goals. I am extremely goal-oriented in a direction of somewhere that I want to be or better, or think I want to be or better. So I used to say, well, I'm going to be happy when I'm worth $100 million. I will tell you, when I was worth over $100 million the first time, I was not happy. What I should have been saying is, man, when I make $100 million, I'm going to change the world. Buy my mom a house. I'm going to build communities in Africa. I'm going to save young women's lives. I'm going to capitalize women entrepreneurs. I'm going to start investing in the people that actually can make a difference in this world and are much better investments than the idiots they're giving money to. Just because you went to Stanford doesn't mean you're a good investment. I'll invest in a woman, especially a woman of color, any day of the week over any Stanford graduate in the world. And less than 2% of money goes to women who have businesses that less than 2% of women are women of color. And I promise you, there's more than 2% of the world is women and women of color. Best investments in the world. And unless middle-aged white mutant turtles like me start preaching this to people, people aren't gonna listen. Because they don't listen to women when they say, hey, we're a good investment. That's obvious. Through my whole life, they're not listening. So I've made it a dedicated part of my existence to make sure we save this country with the people that are capable of saving this country, which are women and women of color. Way better statistical investments. You're welcome. And so I have tons of shows. I have Meltzer funding, which bridges women and women of color for up to $500,000 to help them capitalize their pursuit of their potential. And I want all of you that are not women and women of color, because I know the women and the women of color are absolutely in favor of this. I want you to start doing research and see statistically, the only color that you're going to get if you invest in women and women of color is green. And on my mission of making more money, helping more people, and having more fun, that's an instant and obvious way to focus your attention and your intention. Do, say, think, feel, and believe aligned with that divine direction. I promise you this world will change really fast. Really fast. And I say that humbly as a middle-aged mutant turtle, a white one. So please, to finish up, this is not this easy, this life. It's easy. You just got to figure out what you're doing to interfere with it. You will not find outside of you what you can't find inside of you. Take inventory of your skills, your knowledge, and desires every day. Align it with what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think is doing well. That will determine your divine direction. Have non-negotiables, hybrid negotiables, and negotiable behavior to take advantage of the certainty of the future, which is time and relativity. You have the power to give meaning to everything you see. Align it with where you want to be. I'll repeat that. You have the power to give meaning to everything you see. Let it align with who you want to be. Stop interfering with it.